Well, praise the Lord. Good to see everybody. Now, Jeffrey, give me a bottle of water. He didn't want like a dry speaker. So, what can I say? Well, it's good to see everybody. And I'm honored to be here. I count it the privilege to be here speaking to you guys. Speaking to the choir, looks like. Let's just open in prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for this time we can gather together, Lord God. God, just to look into your word, Lord God, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, Lord God. God, to go out equipped and prepared, Father. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for just being here to open our hearts. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm a guy that likes notes. Anybody else? Some people don't speak from notes. Some people do. I do. So just bear with me. And I usually have a lot. So whatever. Okay, we're going to start with in John. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. We'll read a couple verses out of John. John chapter 4. My topic is, you want the topic? The topic is, after the service or beyond the service, beyond the church service. Okay, John chapter 4. And I'm going to start in verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's what we're going to be looking at, is worship in spirit and in truth. So how many men here just love to worship during service? I mean, you can just totally get lost in God. Just surrender before God.
Amen.
Psalms 95:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Do you feel free in the service to do these things?
Yeah.
Do you feel free to just bow down and fall on your face before God and just get alone with God? Well, that's a good starting point. But we're to go beyond the service. Do you have the song ready? Okay, we're going. Jeffrey's going to play a song. Now listen to this song. It's very important because this is what it's all about.
It's all about you. can express how much you deserve. Lord, we can know all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. But it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
David Mathis, the editor of Desiring God, wrote, "The heart of worship is not music and song, but heads and hearts in joyful awe of the real Jesus." What's essential for worship today is not music and microphone, but the truth about Jesus and the help of His Spirit. It's also the song of repentance and reconsecration, not just in worship, but all of life. Periodically, we all need a soul check. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And Deuteronomy 11:16, "Take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." We're so easily distracted from the main things, especially the main person, Jesus. So, we're talking about worship. So, what is worship? We have to define what's worship. In 1828, Webster Dictionary put it this way: "Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission." I thought that was a really good definition of worship. True worship is defined, Delesslin Kennebrew put it this way, true worship is defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is on our list of priorities. True worship is a matter of the heart expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. Your lifestyle should express the beauty of holiness through an extravagant or exaggerated love for God. Deuteronomy 30:16 says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Speaking of passing over Jordan speaks of going from death to life. And so we need to know who brought us out of Egypt. How many was in Egypt? We all come out of Egypt, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know, and then we crossed over the Jordan to the promised land. Everybody has a promised land, right?
Yes.
Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. God is jealous of our worship of him every day. Not just in church, not just for that hour or whatever, but every day God's jealous for our worship of him. You know, there's times we look in the Bible and we can see instances, we can see stories about people that understood this worship of God. We see in the Old Testament, how many read the Old Testament? We see in the Old Testament a story about David. And David was a shepherd boy. He was just out taking care of the sheep. And his father called him and he says, hey, he said, your brothers are out on the battlefield. Go out and take them some food and check up on them, see how they're doing. And so David, he goes out to the battle, and he got a first-hand glimpse of what was happening. Here was this giant over in the other mountain, and he was doing his thing. He'd been doing this for how long? 40 days. And he came out, and he just roared and challenged the army. And everybody just started shaking and quaking, you know, because they had fear of this giant, this man by the name of Goliath. But David, interesting, this guy David, God said, he's a man after my own heart. So David says, what's the big deal? He said, here's this guy, and he's defying the armies of the living God. And he said, I'll go fight. I'll go fight. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, to Goliath. He's speaking to Goliath. He's a little guy. Goliath's a big guy. And he said, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And all this assembly, here's David, and he's saying, here's what's going to happen. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Get this. And he said, and he will give you into our hands. He didn't say into my hands. He said, God's going to give you into our hands. Very interesting. Little words in there. Acts 13:22. I've found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That's a good report. How'd you like that on your tombstone? Yeah. All right. And go to the New Testament in Acts chapter 7. And we see the story about Stephen. Stephen's full of faith. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And he's confronting the religious people. And he's rehearsing everything about the history of Israel up to the cross. What happened at the crucifixion. And didn't back down from them. Even though there was a lot of pressure on him. And he didn't back down. But get this. In Acts 7:55. But he being full of the Holy Ghost. How many know we need to be full of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Looking up steadfastly into heaven. And saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Other places in the Bible it talks about Jesus being seated. But this time, Stephen saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. The heavens opened, and he saw Jesus, and here's Jesus standing. It's like Jesus was giving him a standing ovation. Here's the definition of a standing ovation. A standing ovation is a form of applause where members of a seated audience stand up while applauding after extraordinary performances of a particularly high acclaim. And here's Jesus, well pleased with Stephen. More recent, in Matt Redman's book, The Unquenchable Worshipper. How many have read it? Very small book. Yeah. Unquenchable Worshipper. It's a story of Rachel Scott, a teenage victim of Columbine High School, Denver, Colorado. On April 20th, 1999, two bitter and twisted students entered the grounds of the school with guns and explosives, planning to wreak havoc. One of the grudges they were bearing was against Christians. And when they found Rachel Scott, that grudge was made very clear. The killer shot her twice in the legs, once in the upper body. As she struggled to crawl away to safety, they pulled her up by the hair and asked, "Do you believe in God?" They thought they'd won the battle, expecting her to back down from her faith with a whimpering, "No." But this bleeding, unstoppable worshiper bravely affirmed, "You know I do." Furious with that answer, they yelled, "Then go be with him," and shot her right through the head. Sold out to Jesus. All three of these people were sold out to Jesus. That's worship. That's worship. In each one of those cases, that's worship. Worship is believing, trusting, having faith in God. In Luke 13:11, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." Anybody ever seen somebody like that? In verse 16, Jesus said, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" She was believing Jesus. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, ought not this woman be loosed on the Sabbath day? The Sabbath was a day of rest, right? And we all battle things. We all go through things. But no matter what we go through, we need to trust Jesus. We need to believe Jesus. We need to have faith in Jesus. Not what we see, not what we hear, not what we feel, but we need to just trust Jesus. Amen. In Matthew 8, 2, and behold, there came a leper, worshiping him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Here he come. And he wasn't in church. He wasn't singing songs. He was trusting Jesus. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. It was God's will for him to be clean, to be whole. You know, a lot of times Christians feel unworthy or unclean for numerous reasons. It may be our past. I may know we've had a past. But the cross cuts off the past. The Bible says all things become new. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new or are becoming new, one of the translations says. But we're not who we used to be. So we need to, when we come to Christ, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, when we're born again, the past is under the blood. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
There should be excitement in here about that.
Yes.
Now maybe some of you are angels, I don't know. But you deal with the past. Some things we have to deal with, right? So we deal with them in whatever way we need to, and we move on. We don't let our past determine our future.
Amen.
We got to break those chains. Amen? First John talks about if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, we're righteous. What does righteous mean? What is this righteousness?
Right standing with God.
Right standing with God. We can stand before God confident that there's nothing against us. There's nothing the enemy can bring up. There's no evidence that he can present before God because we're in right standing with God. We don't have to feel unworthy. After all, it's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. How many have been freed of something? Amen. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back there.
Yes.
Stay free. Don't look back. Don't be like Lot's wife and look back. Stay focused on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:18. While he spoke these things, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. There's so much in these verses. How many have ever been reading these verses, and God says, well, look here. Look here. I want you to look at it this way. Now look at it this way. And there's just so much in these verses. And so we look at this. This ruler came. Well, I want you to think of yourself as a ruler. How many are rulers here? How many priests and kings? Right? Okay, so we should be rulers, right? We're supposed to have dominion.
Sure. More than conquerors.
That's right, yes. And so, now think of your daughter. It says, his daughter. And the ruler said, my daughter's dead, but. I like the but. My daughter's dead. Now you can think, now, you know, we believe in resurrection, right?
Yes.
All things are possible, right? So we believe that Jesus can raise the dead. No problem. But maybe you have a son or a daughter that is not walking with God. Just trust God. Just believe God that they're coming in.
Right. Yes.
Our children shall be taught of the Lord.
Yes.
Great shall be their peace.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
No matter what it looks like, no matter what they're doing, where they're at, we just trust God.
Amen.
We believe God. Or maybe you can look at your daughters as your hopes, your dreams, your plans, your vision that you once had. Or maybe you still have them, but they're dead. Trust Jesus to bring them to life.
Amen.
Don't you give up on them. Hang on to them. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God knew us long before we was born.
Amen.
He knew the plans that he had for us. The Bible says they're written. He wrote our plans down. What he had for us to fulfill in our life. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And plans to give you a hope and a future. God has plans for every one of us. Hallelujah. It may be... How many have ever had prophetic words spoken over you? And maybe they haven't come to pass. Maybe you think, well, God forgot about me. Or maybe somebody missed it. Or maybe this. Or maybe that. You just hang on to those words.
Amen.
Hang on to them. Trust God. Believe God. He'll bring it to pass. There's just so many things that God wants us to just not forget about. You know, a lot of times we give up. You know when we lose? When we give up. So just hang on there. Just trust God that He's gonna use each and every one of us. How many want to be used of God? How many want to go out and slay giants? Well, we'll have giants. There will be Goliaths in our life. Right. But we're greater than that because we have the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So worship is trusting God every day. Whatever comes your way, just trust God. Believe God. The steps of a righteous man are ordered to the Lord. Sometimes you wonder, what am I doing here? How did I get here? What's going on here? Just wait. Just believe that God has you there for a purpose. I've seen God do strange things. Maybe He wants you to talk to someone, you know, or whatever. Pray for somebody. Just so many things. We need to just trust God. That's worship. Trusting God. Mm-hmm. Next thing is, worship is taking Jesus to the world. You know, we expect people to come to church, right? But Jesus says, go. We're to go. And we're not going to do it if we don't understand some things. How many find it hard to share Jesus with people? The more you do it, the easier it gets. And I know, you know, there's always that. Well, they're not going to hear me anyways. They're hardened. They're hard. They don't want to hear about Jesus. Don't you ever believe that.
Amen.
Don't ever believe it. Don't you let the devil condemn you or anything else. You just share Jesus. And you have to understand that everybody that don't know Jesus, the Bible says they're going to hell. Could be your family, your friends, your relatives, neighbors. If they haven't given their heart to Jesus, if they're not living for Jesus, Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do we really believe that? Do we believe there's a hell? Do we believe the life's short? We don't know how many opportunities we're going to have to tell people about Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Or maybe some other time. Well, maybe some other time won't come. How many have ever known somebody and you said, I'll see you next week or I'll see you tomorrow, and you got a phone call and they're gone? How many have always wondered, what if? Mark 9:48, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. There are people that are going to die and go to hell. I was one of those people. If I died before I accepted Jesus, I might be in hell right now. I don't know. But that's reality. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages or the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. The wages of sin, but that gift. And it's there. How many like to deliver gifts? How many ever given gifts? It's fun, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, every time you share Jesus with somebody, just pretend you're delivering a gift. You know, if you have trouble witnessing to somebody, you can go up to somebody and say, hey, I have a gift for you. Best gift you ever had. You know, you can build on this thing. You know, Jesus used different things to illustrate. And so you can too. You say, hey, I got a gift for you. I've been sent to give you a gift. I'm just a messenger. But it's a good gift. Best gift you'll ever receive. And it's just for you. It's got your name on it. Beautifully wrapped. We make witnessing hard, but it can be fun. When me and my wife were in Bible school, we had prophecy that we would go to the nations. And of course, get your ticket. We're ready to go. And it didn't happen, you know. And so, you know, whatever. But last year, we was invited, our daughter took us on a cruise. Anybody ever been on a cruise? Cruise are good. People have a lot of fun on cruises, right? They go there to just relax, enjoy, get away from everything. Well, on this cruise, now this was not what's known as a Christian cruise, okay? This was a cruise. It was a great time. We just shared Jesus Christ with people. We saw literally dozens of people accept Jesus on this cruise. We saw people healed. We saw miracles. God just done wonders. Spirit of God just moved. Did those people go on that cruise to hear about Jesus?
No, they knew.
That's right.
Well, they did. They just didn't know.
That's right. Divine appointments, right? And it's just awesome. So just wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, just expect Jesus to show up. Hallelujah. You know, everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved
the world.
Not the church?
No. He loves the church too.
Right.
He loved the world.
For God so loved the world. Who's the world? Unbelievers. The ones that aren't saved. But God loved them and us because Paul said, that's what we was. That was our lifestyle. That was our conversation.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever, how many whosoevers do we have? Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish or go to hell, but have eternal life or everlasting life. God's so good. So when you're witnessing to people, when you're sharing Jesus Christ, that's worship. You said you like to worship, right? That's worship. John 4:35 to 38 say you not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Don't say tomorrow. Don't say next week. Don't say next month or next year. But Jesus says, lift up your eyes. See in the spirit realm that there's a harvest field out there, and we need to be about our Father's business. That's worship. Mark 16:15 says, And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just preach the gospel. Every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. How many believers do we have? These are the signs that should follow you. This should be normal. Just a normal life. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall be healed. That's just, God says, I'll confirm my word. If you do what I tell you to do, I'll confirm my word. This will just be part of only believe. See, when we go out, we should just believe God for this.
That's
right. This is just what we do. You know, this is just the normal Christian worship.
It's Tuesday.
This is worship, right? It's fun. How many of you ever thought worship's fun? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. You know, we need to love God, love the Lord, and love others. A lot of people say, well, I love the Lord, but I have the problem with loving people. But see, if we really love people, if we really love the Lord, we're going to love people. Because God's love and God's in us, right? And so what's in us should be coming out of us. And so, you know, we love the Lord and we love people. So if we really love people, we don't want to see them go to hell. We want to see them go to heaven.
Amen.
We want to see them enjoy life, not just suffer through life and be in misery. This is all worship. This is beyond the church service. This is good stuff, amen? Romans 12:1 in the Amplified. And I'm ready to close. Here's what Paul says. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. That's worship. When we just present our bodies, present our lives before God, in holiness, righteousness, that's worship. Isn't God good? He's so good. And He's jealous of worship. He's a jealous God. So worship after the service, beyond the service, is a lifestyle. We all have lifestyles. It's a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. It's a lifestyle that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Any questions, comments? Wow. Quiet crowd. Okay, let's just close this session in prayer then. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father. Thank you, God, that you've called us to be worshipers. And God, you put your spirit within us, Lord God. God, to put life in us, Lord God. Life in our worship, Father. And Father, God, we just want to be so on fire for you, Lord God. so full of you, Lord God. God, that everything we do, Father, is worship. It's a holy fragrance to you, Father. God, our life, Lord God, would just be like the aroma of sweet flowers, Lord God. God, we thank you and praise you. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for equipping us, Lord God. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Father. God, you are so good. You are so awesome, Lord God. God, we just ask that the Holy Spirit just help us. Help us to be the worshipers that you want us to be. And Father, we will give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.